Please don't take the screaming children out. We need them. They give us some vigor and some enthusiasm. And really, that's what we're looking at this morning as we conclude our messages on the names of the Lord. We have been looking into the book of Genesis. We have seen a number of those names of the Lord. The name that we've chosen this morning is not taken specifically out of the book of Genesis, but it's certainly referenced there. It is God, my exceeding joy, and it's El Simcha Gil. And I don't expect you to remember that because it's a long phrase in Hebrew, which means God is my exceeding joy. And it comes from Psalm 43. Psalm 43 says this, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto your holy hill and to your tabernacles." And here's the key verse. "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yes, upon the harp I will praise you, O my God." May the Lord bless His word. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we stand in your presence, we know that you are very present here. And we pray that you would anoint your word for our hearts, open our eyes to see, open our spiritual ears to hear, open our hearts to embrace the Word of God. And, Lord, that we would live by it. Teach us your ways, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God, my exceeding joy. Have you ever been happy? I mean really, really, really happy. Have you ever been extremely happy? That's what the psalmist is talking about. The Lord is my extreme joy, my exceeding joy. Now, there used to be a cartoon, old cartoons, I think, had a lot of messages to them. But this one was about the animal, little dog that would take a biscuit and he would get all thrilled with it. And he'd take it and he'd go, and then he'd wrap his arms around himself and he'd go, and then he'd jump up the air and he'd float back down going, When I thought of this, I thought, that's exceeding joy. So anybody this morning wanting to jump up in the air and float back down, you just go right ahead. Because that's what the Lord is talking about here, that God wants us to have His exceeding joy. Not just joy, but joy unspeakable. Joy beyond belief. Joy beyond any natural belief or substance that we have in this world. Now, this word is in the Psalms, but it's also reflected throughout the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, I found 89 passages that use these words describing the joy that God's people should have. One in particular is found in Genesis, and it's not God speaking, but it's Laban speaking to his son-in-law, Jacob. And you know the whole story of Laban cheating Jacob and all that went on. And Jacob finally says, "I'm pulling up stakes and I'm going on my own." And his father-in-law comes to him and said, "Why do you flee away secretly? Why do you steal away from me? And you did not tell me. I might have sent you away with mirth and with songs and with tambourine and harp." And he's using these words. "I would have sent you away with exceeding great joy. But you didn't." And sometimes I think the Lord says that to us. You didn't ask for His joy, and therefore you didn't get it. Jesus said, "I've come that your joy might be full." When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you really know Him as your personal Savior, He gives you a joy that is beyond all other joys. So as I ask you that this morning, I want you to think in your own minds of the time that you were the happiest. When was the happiest day of your life? Think back. Now, some of you have to think way, way, way back, but think back on the joy of the Lord or the joy that you've had in your hearts. There are actually four words that are used in the Hebrew to describe this joy. The first one is simcha, which means an extreme joy or overflowing joy. And the other is gil, which is G-I-Y-L. And that also means the same thing. And I looked at that and I thought, wait a minute, why are they saying basically the same thing but using two different words? And that's because the Hebrew didn't have an exclamation point. They didn't use punctuation as we use. They had to use words to punctuate. And so when they used these words in repetition, they were highlighting and saying, this is an exclamation point. Extreme or exceeding joy. Abounding joy. And often it's used with the word of gladness or singing or shouts of joy and to rejoice and to celebrate. That's why I was so happy when the child this morning, after the musical prelude, gave thanks to the Lord and shouted. shouted for joy, because that's the word that's used here, shouting for joy. There are many passages that refer to the joy of the Lord. And I know many people of our different personalities don't have the same kinds of expression for joy that's inside. Here's joy expressed by my mother-in-law. And here is extreme joy expressed by my mother-in-law. When I asked her about that, she says, "But I'm joyful in my heart. I'm singing to the Lord in my heart." And I'd like to go, "Well, get it outside." And some of us can't express joy as well as other people do. I'm reminded of that when we went to Ireland for my son's wedding. And the Irish people know how to celebrate. They know how to shout for joy, even though they're not spiritual. We had the wedding, and at the reception, we were the odd ones because we did our very sedate thing. We sat at the table, and we drank our grape juice or our orange juice instead of drinking the Guinness that they were all serving everybody. But they were happy. I mean, they were celebrating in the marriage. And so they were up, and they were dancing, and they were shouting and jumping around. And they'd come over to talk to us and say, "What's the matter?" "What's the matter is we're like my mother-in-law. We celebrate inside, but not outside." Same thing is true with our daughters, our son-in-law. We went to my daughter's wedding, and in that wedding, they were great celebrators. And our whole family, Marilyn's side, my side wasn't there, but Marilyn's side was all there, and we were sitting at tables, and all of us were quiet. We were just sitting there. We were happy. We were enjoying. We were doing, the happy thing. And everybody else was up, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and Brian's family got up, and they were just dancing around. Have you seen the movie, Our Big Fat Greek Wedding? That describes joy. These Greek people knew how to celebrate. They could sing, and they could dance around. We don't do that much in the church, do we? We don't. Because we've grown up Presbyterian, or Christian Missionary Alliance, or Baptist, or by some other identity in which we try to be conservative and we hold the joy inside. And David is saying God expects that joy to come out from the inside into the outside. So we need to learn to celebrate. We need to learn to be joyful in the Lord. There are four expressions of joy that I want to highlight this morning. The first one is the inner joy. Jesus promised us an inner joy that's on the inside. In John 15:11, he says this: "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be full." And the reason I ask you, what's the happiest day that you ever had? When's the most joyful day you ever had? It's because Jesus said, I want you to be more joyful even than that, because your sins are forgiven. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Sometimes I think those that have been saved out of a wretched life of alcoholism or drugs or all kinds of deep sins, and when they get saved, they're expressive of their salvation and how wonderful it is that the Lord saved them and brought them out of that. But even we who have grown up in more Christian homes and haven't experienced the depths of sin, when we come to Christ, there is a joy that Jesus gives us deep in our hearts, that we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We are on our way to heaven. Jesus said, I want you to be able to ask and receive that your joy might be complete. We as believers have a reason to be joyful more than anybody on planet Earth. And the reason for that is the cleansing of the blood of Jesus that we're going to celebrate this morning. The cleansing of the blood of Jesus. We are washed from our sins. We are set free, and we're on our way to heaven. We are not stuck on this earth, but we have a place in heaven. Jesus said that so clearly in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I refuse to change it to the NIV, which says many rooms. I don't want a room in heaven. I want my own house. So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So all of us who are true believers and have received Christ as our Savior have this great hope, this blessed hope, that the day that we breathe our last, it's going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord immediately. And that joy of the Lord will fill our hearts. That's the first joy, the inner joy. The second joy is referred to by David. It is the lost joy. Psalm 51, he expresses it. He had sinned. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he committed murder by killing her husband or allowing him to be killed. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit." David was praying and said, "I've lost the joy of my salvation. I've lost it because I've lived in sin and I haven't done what I ought to do. So, Lord, would you cleanse me of this? Would you purify me? Would you restore to me the joy that I once had?" And I realize there are many believers today that have lost their joy. I was in a meeting with prayer leaders and pastors, and we were gathered together, and they called upon me to do a word of exhortation spontaneously to the group. And I was rejoicing in the Lord. I'd been on a fasting and prayer retreat, and I was stood before them. My heart was just overflowing with joy. And as I began to speak, I looked at their faces, and they were all grumpy looking faces. That's how we look spiritual. Everybody look spiritual for a moment. Look at me in a grumpy face. Okay, that's spiritual. They were looking that way. And I said, "I sense this afternoon that many of you have lost the joy of your salvation." And I told them of my experience of our daughter's death and my losing all my joy and losing almost all of my faith and how God restored me. And I said, "This afternoon, the Lord is calling on me to pray for you, that you would be restored to the joy of your salvation." And there were probably 25 people. And I said, "How many of you would like to be prayed for?" Half the group raised their hands, and we went around and prayed for them, and the joy of the Lord was restored in their lives. David has said it's not an uncommon thing, it's a common thing for believers to lose the joy of the Lord. We get distracted by other things, we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we don't sing songs, and we don't read our scriptures, and therefore we lose that joy of our salvation, and we need to come back to it. Psalm 137 expresses the same thing of the people of God. He said, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion," that is Jerusalem. "And there on the willows, we hung our harps. For there our captors requested a song from us. Our tormentors demanded us to sing the songs of Israel. Sing us the songs of Zion." And we said, "How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land?" Many believers have hung their harps on the willows. We just hung up. We don't sing anymore. We don't praise the Lord anymore. We've let it go. So there's that first one, which is the inner joy. And then there's the lost joy. And then there's the third one, which is the joy of singing. The joy of singing. You know, singing is a gift from God. Even if you have a bad voice, God calls on you to sing. Moses expressed that. They have just been led through the out of captivity, crossed the Red Sea with walls of water on both sides. The people, two million of them, got on the other side. And immediately they picked up the tambourines and said, "It's a song of Moses." And Moses sang a song to the Lord. And he rejoiced in God, our Savior. He was rejoicing in the Lord. He said it this way. "And Moses sang a song, and the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord. And they spoke it, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has dealt triumphantly and glorious with me. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." The Lord wants us to celebrate. He wants us to sing joyfully to the Lord. That's why I was excited this morning when a child screams out, "Yay!" I think there needs to be more yays. Maybe it's more cultural to say yay than it is to say amen. Amen, Brian? Whoa. Stop that, brother. We don't want any Pentecostals here. But we have lost the art of singing as well in our churches. We have sung many of those familiar hymns that are old, and they're precious to us. But we've lost the joy of our salvation in singing some of the songs. It used to be that we went to church for Sunday school and we learned songs in Sunday school. We went to church on Sunday morning, went to church on Sunday night and learned more songs. Went to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we learned more songs. And as youth group, teenagers got together and we learned even more songs. So we have this repertoire of thousands of songs that are deep in our hearts. And that's the well of salvation that we need to dip down and pull them out. Some of these songs are wonderful songs. I remember one that my mother taught me that's really stuck with me through the years. You probably never heard it, so I'm going to sing it for you. Are you ready? Mommy told me something a little boy should know, and it's all about the devil, and I grew to hate him so. He only causes trouble when you let him in the room. He will never, ever leave you when your heart is full of gloom. So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Smilers never lose, and frowners never win. So let the sun shine in, face it with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. Isn't that a great song? I saw some of you singing it along with me. That's great. These are the kind of songs that ought to be in our heart, and we're singing daily to the Lord, not just on Sunday morning, not at just special services, but these songs are in our hearts to sing to the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am so happy, and here's the reason why. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He keeps me singing. All of these wonderful songs, and it is well with my soul. All of these songs are deep inside, or ought to be inside of us, and we have to sing them to the Lord. Now, some of you are more contemporary than that, and I encourage you to get out your iPhones or your CD players or whatever you're listening to music on, and listen to praise music. Get it to flow into you so that you're singing it. I often had it when I had my little pickup truck, had my own little CD player, and that thing I would blast, because Marilyn doesn't like it blasting. So I would get in my truck and I would blast it, singing songs of praise to the Lord. Sometimes I'd be singing, going down the road, and I'd start to weep because a song was so meaningful to me. God wants us to funnel into our lives these songs of joy that God has given us so that we might be lifted up in praise to the Lord. I encourage you, get a hymn book, go through the hymn book, or get a little chorus book and learn the songs so that you can sing to the Lord. I remember an occasion in Brazil where we had some YWAMers, Youth with a Mission, came to visit us for 2 weeks. And we had a number of them living in our homes with us, and they had the discipline of prayer. And they had a very systematic way of praying, and one of the points of their prayer was that they were to give praise to the Lord. Not just talk to the Lord and say praise, but sing to the Lord. I was in my study, and outside my study was a little bathroom, and I was in my study doing what we white Anglo guys do. I was diligently studying the Word, and then I heard this horrible noise coming out of the bathroom. And it was just an awful moaning sound, and it's kind of moaning but a little bit cheerful, and I'm thinking, what is that? And I got out and I listened by the door, and I what in the world? The poor guy must have diarrhea or something. He's having a problem. And I went back in my study and I listened a little more carefully. No, he was singing a song. And I go, oh man, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for that guy. He can't sing. And the Lord said, and what about you? You sang no song to me this morning. And I thought, wow, hit me between the eyes. We can criticize somebody else, but the Lord says, I want you to sing a song to me. Don't just listen to the songs on your CD or your phone. Sing with the song. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so sing when you're feeling sad. Sing when you don't feel like it. Sing when you're angry. Boy, that'll get your wife mad. Sing when you're angry. Yeah, it just blows the devil out of the room and it changes the whole mood. Sing. And the fourth one is the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's talking about the joy of the Lord that we have deep in our hearts that's going to be fulfilled in the presence of God. I wanted to read to you a portion of Don Piper's 90 Minutes in Heaven. Don Piper, a number of years ago, came to our community, and it was by our invitation of the Grove City Alliance Church, and we had to arrange him 2 years in advance because he's so popular in his speaking. Don Piper died in an accident and went to heaven for 90 minutes. And it's a miracle how he came back to life, and you can get the book and read the story. But he talks about heaven and some of the wonders that were there. And chapter 3 talks about the heavenly music. And I wanted to read some of that to you because we need to understand that in heaven, you're not going to get away with singing, mumbling. You're not going to get away with not singing at all. You're going to be singing and you're going to be enjoying the Lord's presence for all eternity. And he says, when I was a young boy, I used to hear birds in the trees. And when I'd come out of the house, they'd suddenly fly away and there'd be the flapping of wings. He said, my most vivid memory of heaven is what I heard. I can only describe it as the holy swoosh of wings. But I'd have to magnify that 1,000 times to explain the effect of that sound in heaven. It was the most beautiful and pleasant sound I have ever heard. And it didn't stop. It was like a song that goes on forever and ever. I didn't just hear the music. It seemed as if it were a part of me. The music invaded me. It played in my whole body, through my whole body. I stood still, and yet I felt embraced by the sounds. As aware as I became of the joyous sounds and melodies that filled the air, it wasn't distracting. I felt as if the heavenly concert were permeating every part of my being. I never saw anything that produced the sound. Whatever made the heavenly music was just above me. I asked no questions about it, and I never wondered about it while I was there. Because everything was perfect, I sensed I knew everything I needed to know. Myriads of sounds filled my mind and my heart. The most amazing sound, however, it was not the angel wings that I didn't see, but the sound of a beautiful, holy melody with a cadence that seemed to never stop. The swishing resounded as if it was a form of never-ending praise. A second sound was the single most vivid memory I have for my entire experience in heaven. It is called music. The melodies of praise that filled the atmosphere of heaven. Praise was unending. There were hundreds of songs that were being sung at the same time, all of them worshiping God. And as I approached the large, magnificent gate, I heard them from every direction and realized that each voice was praising God. Some sounded instrumental, but I wasn't sure. Praise was everywhere, and all of it was musical. It was comprised of melodies and tones that I had never experienced before. Hallelujah! Praise! Glory to God! Praise the King! Such words rang out in the midst of the throne. My heart filled with a deeper joy than I've ever experienced. I wasn't a particular participant in that worship, yet I felt like I was being carried by it. My heart rang out with the same songs of joy and exuberance. I could clearly distinguish each song. It sounded as if each hymn of praise was meant for me to hear, and I was moved by it. Many of the old hymns and choruses I had sung various times in my life were part of that music, along with hundreds of other songs that I've never heard before. Hymns of praise, modern-sounding choruses, ancient chants filled the air and filled my ears and brought a deep peace and a joy that was so everlasting, it's inexpressible. I didn't hear such songs as the old rugged cross or the nail-scarred hands. Those songs were gone. I heard songs, no sad songs, but songs about the glory of the Lord. All were praises about Christ's reign and His kingdom. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I encourage you someday to get that book because it's an exciting read of His personal testimony of His experience in heaven for 90 minutes. Can you imagine leaving this church? If Jesus should come immediately and take us all away, we're suddenly brought into heaven and that music surrounds us and the joy of the Lord is everywhere. And the presence of the Lord and the joy of the Lord is on every face. Do you think you're going to get away with being a white Anglo-Saxon frowning person? I don't think so. I think you're going to be joyful as never before. Peter talks about this and he says, whom having not seen, Jesus, whom you have not seen, you love, in whom now, though you see him not, you believe and you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then he speaks of persecution, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And Jude 1:24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God has expressed that he wants us to have an exceeding joy, an amazing joy, a joy that flows out of our hearts every day. Now I'm going to give you a task. Sing a song to the Lord every day. Doesn't matter if you're in the shower, in the bathroom, or you're down in the basement, or you're working out in the backyard. Well, in these cold days, you wouldn't work out in the backyard, but whatever you're doing, Ask the Lord to put a song in your heart so that you sing to Him every day. And you'll find the more you sing songs, if you learn one and sing it over and over every day, pretty soon there's two, and then there's three, and then there's four. And then you go singing throughout the day because the Lord is there. I close with this question for all of you and for me. Is the Lord your God, your exceeding joy? Do you enjoy Him, and are you rejoicing in Him? We're going to close and segue to our communion service with a song that's on a CD, and it's been very significant in my life. It's called We Will Remember. And I want us to do that segue to the Lord's table, because this is the table of remembrance. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so when we remember Him, we ought to be celebrating and rejoicing in the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you through this music. The words are in your insert.
The works of your hand, and we will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Crank that up a little bit. my mind's eye, I was picturing the congregation and that last chorus just standing to your feet and everybody just praising the Lord with smiles on your faces. It'll take some time, but I just pictured that. Because in heaven, it's going to be that kind of great singing and worship and the joy of the Lord as our strength. As we serve our communion table, it's a good reminder that Jesus, the night he was betrayed, they were celebrating Passover. Key word here, celebrating. They were celebrating deliverance from Egypt. They were celebrating the Passover. And Jesus said, I want to eat this Passover with you. And at the end of that meal, he gave them these instructions concerning the Lord's table. He says, here's what I want you to do when I'm gone. I want you to take the bread. And that bread represents my body, which is being broken for you. And I want all of you to eat of it. And he broke the bread, he passed it around the room, and each of them ate of it. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And most of us pass over that because we get so used to hearing it. It means this is your inheritance. This is my last will and testament. I'm giving you a new covenant, a new testament in my blood. It's sealed with blood. And that new testament is heaven is the place where you're destined to be with me forevermore. What a wonderful thing. And then Jesus, as he concluded all that, he said, this cup, I want you to drink in remembrance of me until I come again. And so as we partake, we're remembering the Lord's death, and it's by his blood that we're cleansed from our sins. His body that was broken for us, we don't have to do any penance. He did it all for us. We just call upon his name and ask his forgiveness, and he forgives, and he comes in and lives in our hearts. If you are a believer this morning, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you may partake from the Lord's table. If you're not, please do not take. Because the Lord says in doing so, you'd bring judgment upon yourself. But if you are not a believer and you would like to become one, you can do that this morning. And just ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and life, forgive you of your sins and be your Savior. And invite him in and he will come in and you will belong to him. Let me pray for these elements. Heavenly Father, we pray over this communion table and ask your presence to be real and magnified in our hearts. And as we celebrate your death till you come, we pray that our hearts will be warmed in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. He took first of all the bread and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I want all of you to eat of it. And so as the plate is passed, would you hold the bread until all have been served? And then when the elders come back, we'll serve them and then we'll all participate together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for giving your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross. And Jesus, we give you thanks for laying down your life for us as a ransom for our sins. You bought us back to God. We thank you. Bless now this bread, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. After the same manner also, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new testament, my last will and testament to all of you. Drink all of you from it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. You said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So we thank you that we have a covering for our sins, that you wash them away. You remember them no more. We lay our sins before you and ask you to cleanse us afresh and anew. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's partake together. And the scripture says, after they did that little Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn and went out. So we sing Amazing Grace, which is a great song to sing. And I want you to sing it cheerfully not like a mourning dirge, but like a cheerful song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We'll sing the first verse and then the last verse, and we're going to do this a cappella. Don's going to give us the right key, so we sing on key, and we'll sing away. Stand with me as we sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Last verse, when we've been there 10,000 years.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining at the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
And now, Lord, we ask that you would dismiss us with your benediction and your blessing, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. You'd lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I remembered how we got that stain on there. I went to pick the cup up, and I squeezed on it, and it wouldn't come out. So I pulled a little bit tighter, and it just exploded. And that almost happened on change. I pulled it up, it wouldn't come out.